3, 2, 1. Thank you and good morning. Welcome once again to another radio program from the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri. We're glad you're listening this morning, and it is our prayer that you'd receive a blessing from the Word of God this morning. We want to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We'll have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock with our regular classes for all ages. We'd love for you to come. And at 11 o'clock this morning, we have our regular preaching service. 4 o'clock this afternoon, we meet again to worship the Lord. And then 7 o'clock, we have our, and Wednesday night is our midweek Bible study. And so you're welcome to come to all these services, and we trust that you will. We know that you'll receive a real blessing from attending these services and hearing the Word of God. This morning, we'd like to look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. We'd like to discuss the subject, the source of our strength. And, of course, the book of Ephesians now is not written to lost people. The book of Ephesians is written to people that are saved. The Bible said here in this Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And so here Paul calls these saved people saints. And that's really what a saint is. A saint is not a person who's already died and then been declared to be a saint. Rather, a saint is a saved person. And so Paul is writing in the book of Ephesians to people that are already saved, and he's instructing them in the way that they can find strength to live and strength to serve God. There's two parts to the message this morning. The first part will be Paul's prayer. This is in verse 14 and 15, and then verse 16 through 21 is the second part, and this is declaring the source of the saved person's strength. So, verse 14 and 15, first of all, the Bible said, and here it gives us an insight into the life of Paul. He said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Notice now, Paul said in verse 14, "For this cause." In other words, for this reason. And notice, he tells us the way that he prays. He said, "I bow my knees." And so here, it gives us at least the physical posture of Paul when he prayed to the Lord earnestly. And I know that we can pray to the Lord walking down the street and driving our car and all of this, and sitting down. We can pray to the Lord laying down. But Paul said, there's times in my life that I set aside in particular that I do absolutely nothing else. And he came to the place and he bowed his knees unto the Lord. Not only did he bow his knees, but this shows his earnestness in his prayer to the Lord, that he bowed his heart before the Lord. And who was he praying? The Bible says in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This tells us who Paul prayed to. Now, you'll notice that Paul was praying to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who in the world is that? Well, Jesus is the Son of God. And so Paul is praying directly to God. This tells us who we can pray to. There's no need of us thinking that we've got to pray through somebody else. There is nobody else to pray to. Paul said, "I am praying to God." And how did he do that? Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 8 that we pray to God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We do not need any other intercessory except Jesus Christ. And so when Paul was praying, he went right to God. He didn't go to a man. He didn't go to somebody that already died and gone on. But he went directly to God and prayed to God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then He said in verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. This is all the saved. And so anybody that's saved is in the family of God. Now, they might be some black sheep in the family, but they are in the family of God. And here he says in verse 16, here is Paul's prayer for these Ephesian brethren, and how that they might personally grow before the Lord, that he would grant you. And this is earnestly Paul's prayer. He went directly to God, and he was praying to God for somebody else. He was praying that God would grant unto these Ephesian brethren that they might understand the greatness of God's power and how that they can really grow. And we'll see all these things in verse 16 through 21 that Paul desired for these people at Ephesians to have. And this is our desire. That you that listen to this radio program might be strengthened, that we might say things here on the air that would be a blessing and be a help to you, that you might grow in the nature of the Lord, that you might lay aside the sins of this world and draw unto Him in a greater way than you've ever drawn before. That you might see that to serve God is not a necessity. It is an absolute pleasure. It is the greatest, most marvelous, wonderful, peace-giving thing you've ever been involved in. And to serve God is that way. I know this. I know that the devil offers pleasures. Somebody said, and I think mistakenly so, that there's no pleasure in this world. There is pleasure in this world. I mean, these people that are going up and down the road and they're boating and they're fishing and they're hunting and they're enjoying the things of this world, that is pleasure. I mean, God put that here for our pleasure. But I want to tell this morning that there's lots more pleasure in this world than just doing those things. To serve God while we live and to know that He's with us every day and every hour, that gives us a settled peace that's greater than anything you'll ever have. I'm not saying it's wrong to fish, but if you can fish and know that God is with you, that's so much better. And I'm not saying God called you to catch fish, but I'm saying that you know that God is with you every place you go, everything you do, that God is there. And you'll find yourself with so much pleasure because you know God is there. And so Paul is saying in verse 16 that he would grant you the according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So here Paul says, I want you to be strengthened with might. The starting place is to be strengthened. The word might means ableness or can-do-itness. And where does this strength, where does this might come from? And notice in verse 16 what Paul is saying. It comes by His Spirit. This is not self-will. This is not those people that say, oh, I can do it. It's not that. But it's rather those people that say, God can do it in me. Strengthened by His Spirit. Where does the strength come to? In the inner man. Not in the outer man. Not in the flesh. But rather, you see, there's an inner strength and an inner power. In verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Verse 17 is a remarkable verse. And somebody would say, well, this is talking here to lost people. No. The book of Ephesians is written to the church at Ephesus. It's written to save people that are already scripturally baptized and already covenanted together to serve God. It's written to a church. And Paul says that it is my prayer that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He's meaning there that Christ may live there day by day. You see, it's possible for a saved person to put Christ out of their life. You know, Lot did that. He went into the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, became a Sodomite. Probably not in physical actions, but at least in the spirit of the matter, he was a Sodomite because he endorsed what they did. And he put Christ out of his life and Paul is saying in Ephesians 3 and verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that he may live there every day by faith. How does Christ dwell in your heart? By faith. The only way that a person can live by faith is to accept the promises that God has laid down in his word. That is the only way. There is no other way to live by faith than to accept the promises laid down in the word of God. And when you take those promises, then you begin to live those promises every day. This is what Paul's desire for the Ephesian brethren is, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and then that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Psalms 1, verse 3 says that the faithful shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That means they have an unseen source of nourishment and faith. The roots go down deep. The Bible said here in Ephesians 3:17 that ye being rooted, that is, having a root down deep in the earth, being rooted and grounded, that is, solid. Paul desired the Ephesian brethren to be solid in the Lord. And so it is. If you're saved today, our desire is that you be solid in the Lord, unmovable, unshakable, because your faith is in Christ and not in the things of this world. What are you going to be rooted and grounded in? Somebody would say, well, in doctrine. That's not what the Bible says. Somebody said, in faith. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said you ought to be rooted and grounded in love. Love is the greatest. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, that there's three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. We need to be rooted, we that are saved, we need to be solid in the love of God. For that will give us the grace, the strength, the knowledge to go on. It will make us unmovable and unshakable in those things that we know God has done for us and we know God can do for others. And I really personally believe that the one thing that is missing out of many religions today is simply love. A lot of people go to church because they have to go. A lot of people go to church because they've been taught to go. A lot of people go to church because they're afraid not to go. They're afraid if they don't go, they're going to lose their salvation, die, and go to hell. And that's not true at all. We ought to go to church. We ought to read our Bibles. We ought to pray because we love God, because He first loved us. The source, the very motivation for everything about our lives is that we would love, because Christ first loved us. That's why he said in Ephesians 3 and verse 17, being rooted and grounded in love. Very plain what he means. And so today we need to be settled. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so we need to comprehend. The word comprehend simply means to seize eagerly. Take hold of these things. Well, we see that our time is gone. We're going to have to continue this message next Sunday morning, the Lord willing. And so we want to give you an invitation again to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri. We trust you'll come and hear the Word of God. We'll invite you again also to listen to this continuation of this message next Sunday morning on this radio station.